You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Actually, pretty fun game, especially if you're a Dolphins fan. We apologize for hitting you guys late, but sometimes life happens. I escaped week two with my ACLs intact, but if you can hear from the voice, I am a little under the weather. And believe it or not, Kevin does actually have a new child that he has helped raising in this world. So schedule is a little screwy this week. We're gonna try and bang this out as quick as we can. I don't think Kev has left that podcast chair since last night. If you are not following along with the DFS Degen Nation podcast, please subscribe over there. Those guys do an awesome job with that. And Kev, let's just jump right into it, man. We're going to talk about our starts and sits for week three. And again, if you're checking us out for the first time, we really appreciate it. Make sure you like, subscribe, rate, review, do all that for us. We really appreciate it. If you are new to the show, we're going to talk about some sits that are within like the top, for a quarterback and tight end. We're going to talk about the top 12 for running back and wide receiver. We're looking at like the top 24. So maybe some non-obvious starts and sits. And then obviously the starts are going to be outside of that. So going to jump right into it. I'll start off with the quarterback. I'm going back to the well that I went to last week with my sits. And I'm going to sit Deshaun Watson again. Talked about him last week, like I said. I think he, depending on your scoring, he was basically a back-end QB2. Obviously not what you're looking for whenever you're starting Deshaun Watson. But looking at him, he is being pressured the third most amongst quarterbacks. He has the league-worst NFL passer rating when he's being pressured. And the Steelers are pressuring at the league's highest rate. They're like blitzing on the league's highest rate. So not a fan of Watson again this week. Kev, do you have any guys who are in that top 12-ish range, that QB1 range, who you are debating on sitting this week, or at least you're pumping the brakes on?
No, not really. I mean, if we're talking about just my rankings, no. I mean, I don't think there's really anybody. I think there's actually a lot of guys that if people need to stream a quarterback this week, that I think there's a lot of options that are probably widely available for people, and especially guys that I've kind of come on to late, after kind of doing the DFS research and everything else for the week. I think Daniel Jones is a smash play this week. I really like Daniel Jones this week. They get a great matchup now against San Francisco, who is just thrashed, right? Their defense is toast right now. I mean, they lost Nick Bosa, they lost Solomon Thomas, Richard Sherman is out. Like, they have so many pieces that are hurt right now. And so, I think heading into this week, or prior to, you probably would have been like, no, I'm not playing Daniel Jones going against the Giants, which I understand that. But this 49, or going against the 49ers, this 49ers defense isn't the same defense anymore. So I really like Daniel Jones this week. And I think that, if you're we'll get to that, with Darius Slayton, but I think him and probably even Golden Tate are guys that people really should be looking at playing this week. But I like Daniel Jones. I think Mitchell Trubisky is somebody that you can play going on the road against Atlanta. Their pass defense is absolutely atrocious. We've seen in the last 2 weeks. Obviously, he's not Russell Wilson. He's not Dak Prescott. But I think this offense can kind of I think this could end up being kind of a shootout in a sense. And I know Allen Robinson really hasn't produced on the level that we've kind of been looking for, but I think overall, I think that both of those guys are two guys that are probably widely available on waiver wires that I would be looking to actually play this week. So, and I think another one, at least as a start, I should say, would be like Carson Wentz. I think I've seen a lot of people down on Carson Wentz, right? People are saying, is he cooked? I'm like, what? Like, it's been 2 weeks. Like, people are like acting like he's like, the Monstars came and took all of his ability, right? Like, it was a rough first 2 weeks. But, like, this is the matchup. This is the nut spot to get going, right? You get the Bengals. I think this is the week that you could really play him confident. But I think there's a lot of people that aren't going to be playing him. And I know a lot of people probably have dropped him because he hasn't produced very much. And I know people went out and wanted to rush out and grab Gardner Minshew, who at the moment, we could be looking at Gardner. Hopefully maybe we get some garbage time success for people, but right now it's not looking good for Gardner Minshew this week. I don't even think I'm not watching the game currently, so I don't know. I don't think he's. When I came up here, he hadn't scored a touchdown yet because James Robinson's the one that got the end zone. So
he just missed a wide open. I think it was Chris Conley streaking down the sideline, just completely missed him. Wide open, nobody around.
If you would have said Keelan Cole, I'd have been real upset. But but anyway, so. I think people who own Carson Wentz should be starting him with confidence this week. I have him as a QB1. Again, you can find our rankings over at thefantasyauthority.com, right there on the homepage, and you can check out our rankings. But I think for me, those guys are guys that I really I'm looking to play.
Yeah, just two more that I'll throw in there, also with a Trubisky call as well. But Matt Stafford, he's currently, I think, Fantasy Pros consensus like 15 or 16 or something. I think you can fire him up against the Cardinals. And then Ryan Tannehill, also kind of that mid QB2. But the Vikings have the sixth worst PFF coverage grade, and they're allowing the fourth highest QB rating against them. So, and obviously they just lost another piece on that defense with Anthony Barr out for the year. So Tannehill is another streamer that I think you can confidently play this week. We're going to keep moving right along here. We're going to head over to the running back. Before we jump into it, it looks like we got a question from our guy, Philip, wants to know, and a timely question at that, David Montgomery, Antonio Gibson, James White, or Mike Davis? Kev, just with obviously you did the DFS prep. How are you guys looking at Mike Davis? Obviously, I'm sure his salary is low, so you guys looked into Mike Davis. But what are your overall thoughts on him as a play in general this week?
I think he's a bit of a trap. This Charger defense that they're going to be facing is really good, like elite level. Like, we just saw what they did to the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs were barely able to win that game. That and this defense is for real. And I think that for me, the way that I see this game going is I feel like this is a much more ball control type game. I think this is a game where they take the ball out of Justin Herbert's hands. I felt like last week they had to do that. They were playing the Chiefs. They knew that they were going to have to score points. And they weren't going to be able to rely as much. And I think that's why they threw the ball as much as they did with Justin Herbert, which we saw Justin Herbert was capable of. But I think in this game, I don't think they're going to have to do that. I think their defense is good enough to keep them going. And so for me, I don't love Mike Davis. I know a lot of people are going to want to play him. I think he's a trap. And at least for this week against this defense, you know, could he find himself with, you know, 6 receptions for 50 yards? Sure. You know, a little dump off, stuff like that. But I'm not banking on it in this situation. I would play David Montgomery.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is the safe play. We have another running back question. Todd Gurley or David Montgomery?
So that's tough because I mean, Todd Gurley has not looked very good this year. I mean, he just hasn't, you know, they've just thrown the ball. He's not getting a ton of opportunities. I'd probably go David Montgomery, you know. The thing that scares me is that if they fall behind and that he gets game scripted out of the game. But, you know, they were willing to use him a little bit in the passing game last week. So, you know, Tariq Cohen really hasn't been used as a pass catcher much so far this year, which has been a little bit surprising. So I would go David Montgomery.
Yeah. Like you said, as long as he doesn't get scripted out, and even I don't see him completely riding the bench, even if they do fall behind. And that Falcons offense is kind of, it's not until their back is against the wall. Julio's dealing with that hamstring injury, so maybe the Bears can hang a little bit before that game gets out of hand, if it does. Blue Crew Chip acquired Davis off of waivers. Should he use him as a trade piece? Has Kamara, Drake, Gordon, Moss, Joshua Kelly. What would you be looking to get back from Mike Davis in that sort of trade? Obviously, with the running backs that the Blue Crew has, not going to be starting Davis unless there's an injury to one of those other guys. But even if so, I think it's going to take 2 injuries before Mike Davis cracks that. What would you be looking for? Because there's obviously going to be a lot of running back hungry teams out there. Would you be targeting like an Anthony Miller, somebody along those lines? What do you think you can get in return for someone who you just got off of waivers?
So what you should probably try to do is package him with somebody, and especially to a team that had Saquon Barkley or a team that had Christian McCaffrey, because the guys like, especially the Christian McCaffrey owner, because that guy is way more valuable to him than it is to you. And so I would look to see what they have. I mean, you're not going to be able to get at least I wouldn't think you're not going to be able to get like a massive haul back. But I think if you packaged them with somebody, I don't know, let's say a Zach Moss or something like that, who Zach Moss may not even play this week because he has missed the last 2 practices with a toe injury. You know, maybe package for somebody. Yeah, Anthony Miller probably be somewhere in the range of a guy that you could look for to acquire. Maybe a Michael Gallup or something like that, who hasn't really produced. Guys that you're trying to buy low on for people. You know, it would really just depend on what that team has, what those 2 teams have. If, you know, was the Saquon Barkley owner, were they able to acquire, you know, Devonta Freeman or something like that? And, you know, then you're probably not going to, you know, you're not going to have much opportunity there. But whoever the Christian McCaffrey owner is would be the guy that I would probably look to, you see what he has to make a trade with. But, yeah, I would definitely be looking to move him.
Yep, I agree as well, especially with the running backs that you have there, Blue Crew. All right, so let's jump into the start and sits for week 3 at the running back position here. My starts, I'll start off on a good note this time. The guys I'm going to be starting, actually someone Blue Crew just mentioned, Joshua Kelly. Think you can fire him up. Obviously going up against the Panthers this week, I do believe. Yes, so the Panthers giving up the most fantasy points per game to running backs. They're giving up the 6th most rushing yards. And with Kelly and Eckler, both of them are in the top 10 in the NFL for running back carries right now. They both have the same amount. I think they both have 35 carries as it stands today. So both those guys are going to get plenty of opportunity. Joshua Kelly is, I think he's being ranked right now as an RB3. If we were having this discussion earlier in the TFA chat, right, where we were kind of debating whether or not Joshua Kelly is actually good or not. But when someone's getting 18 to 22 carries per week, the talent really doesn't matter at that point. We want to chase volume. We want to chase opportunity, and Joshua Kelly is getting that. So he is one of my starts this week. The other one I'm going to bring to the table, again, opportunity base, is Jerick McKinnon. Obviously, I don't think there's any reason for Raheem Mostert to play this week. Coleman has already been ruled out. So we're going to kind of finally get to see, excuse me, 2 years later, what Shanny envisioned for McKinnon whenever they went and gave him that, what was it, 4 years, $30 million contract when they initially signed him. I think that's been restructured since. But we're going to finally get to see 2 years later what that offense was going to look like whenever they gave him that contract. So McKinnon, obviously, we know what he can be when he's healthy. Hopefully he can make it through this game healthy, but he's someone who, if you picked him up off of waivers, I think you can throw him in the flex spot this week going up against the Giants. Kev, what about your starts that are outside the top 24 consensus rankings this week?
I think there's some different places you can go. You know, obviously this week, the kind of big games that you want to target, I'm talking like it's DFS target, but you know, the big games this week is the Seattle games, the Arizona game. Both those games have 56.5 for the Seattle game, 55.5 totals for Arizona, and then the Baltimore-Kansas City game is 55.5 as well. Those are kind of the big totals for the week. So, I mean, at running back this week, I was going to say James Robinson, but obviously that's not fair. But I had James Robinson as an RB1 this week at 11. But for me, like, I think Antonio Gibson is definitely somebody that I would want to play as a flex option. I think he's in play there. You know, the defense that they are facing this week doesn't really scare me all that much. Daryl Henderson, especially, which it looks like he's going to be the starter, right? As of now, I mean, there's nobody else. I don't even know if Cam Akers is actually going to play this week. I know there was some talk about it, but and then you also have Malcolm Brown, who had surgery on a finger, which if he did, I doubt he plays all that much at all. I know they get the Bills, but I think they can get him going at least as a pass catcher at the very least. You know, and like I said, like, guys that I would avoid 100% would be Ronald Jones. Like, he's done. He's dust. The opportunity never came, right? We hoped that last week, one of these weeks, that he would have went off and we would have got an opportunity to sell on him. That opportunity's not coming. He looks like he's done, especially with the big game that Leonard Fournette just had. I don't see how they go back to Ronald Jones. Is Ronald Jones going to get some opportunities? Sure. But is he going to be the lead back anymore? No. And so, which is kind of, you know, poetic justice for us, because we were completely against Ronald Jones all offseason, and he's still never fired. So I totally agree on the Jerick McKinnon call. I think that he is somebody at the very least is a flex option, especially in PPR formats. That's a great matchup for him. Like I said, against the Giants, I think this game, the thing that scares me with the Giants more so than anything is Nick Mullins, because Nick Mullins looked completely terrible. I know in the past we've seen some Nick Mullins, and he's looked decent, but he did not look very good last week. I know he came in on short rest, but I think Jerick McKinnon is definitely in play as a guy that I'd want to play. You know, some other guys that I'd be afraid of is Nyheim Hines. This isn't really a great matchup for them unless you think the Jets can all of a sudden get their offense going, which I would not count on that at one bit. And so if you can't, then I don't think you can play. I think it's really tough to trust Nyheim Hines this week. They're not going to have to throw the ball very much. I think they feed Jonathan Taylor. I have Jonathan Taylor as an icon number two or number three this week overall. I love Jonathan Taylor this week. And then I think DeAndre Swift is also a really sneaky flex option. He's been getting a lot of work as a pass catcher in that backfield. And in this matchup, and that's kind of where I was leading to, is I felt like with him, I think that this is a great matchup going against Arizona. This Arizona defense still isn't very good. I know the last couple of weeks they haven't given up a bunch of points, but they really haven't played like two explosive offenses yet either. And I honestly think, like, this is a great balance. Like, like you mentioned Matt Stafford. Like, a lot of people have dropped Matt Stafford because Matt Stafford has not been what we thought it was. But they lost Kenny Golladay, so now we get Kenny Golladay back in the offense. And that is going to be so huge for this entire offense to really kind of, I think, get things going and start going in the positive direction. And I think DeAndre Swift is the pass-catching back here. And this is going to be a shootout, which Vegas believes that it is. I think you can play DeAndre Swift pretty confidently as an RB3 this week.
For my sits, I'll just rattle these off quickly before we move on to wide receiver. But the These are just strictly matchup based. David Johnson and Melvin Gordon. I know Gordon had the, what was it, like 70 rushing yards. He had that touchdown, the receiving touchdown last week, which made his fantasy points and his day look better than it was. But if you were watching that game, Melvin Gordon lined up on the outside and ran like an end zone fade. That might be the first and the last time we ever see Melvin Gordon line up basically at X receiver and run an end zone fade, get a target and catch it for the touchdown reception. So with that matchup going up against Tampa again, that's a tough run defense. I know their fantasy points against don't look great right now, but they are seventh. They are seventh in rush DVOA. And then David Johnson going up against the Steelers. That, I mean, again, that defense is for real. We were wondering going into the year, were they going to be able to keep up their level of play, the Steelers defense, that is, with what they did last year. So far, they've been doing that. I think the Steelers are giving up like the third or fourth fewest fantasy points per game to the running back position. So those are two guys who I would probably sit and think about starting some of the flex options that we have been talking about so far. So let's just move right on to wide receiver. Same thing, starts and sits. We had a couple of questions. Here's one from Philip. He needs two of these. Cooks, Slayton, Robinson, Thielen. They got a Robin Slayton. You going Thielen there?
Yeah, 100%. The amount of targets that man sees, it's Robinson and Thielen. I want to play Slayton, which is hard for me because I really, really, really like Slayton this week without Sterling Shepard in the lineup. And, you know, we already talked about, and that's kind of somebody who I was going to talk about. It would be a great bounce back spot for him after that monster week one. I love Darius Slayton this week, but I cannot play him over Adam Thielen or Allen Robinson.
Would you... If that were a case where you needed like a more of a boom bust, would you think about going Slayton over Thielen? Or are you just plugging Thielen in no matter
you
what?
You could, but I mean, I honestly feel like that Thielen is much more of a boom, right? I mean, so if you look at his numbers through the first 2 weeks, so I mean, he's playing 100% of the snaps, but he has a 33.3% target share, which is third in the league. He's third in air yards, you know, second in deep targets. Like, he is that entire offense in terms of, you know, and through the passing game, I mean. So, yeah, you just can't sit a guy who's going to get that kind of opportunity.
Thought I would get you there. Philip also lost McCaffrey and Sutton. Ended up trading DJ Moore and Hawkinson for Thielen and Robinson. What are you any thoughts on there? We had CJ in the chat who thinks that's easily the DJ Moore side. Any feelings? How do you think about that trade and how that's going to play out? It is worth noting that he also has Jonnu and Noah Fant at tight end. So obviously losing Hawkinson was not a big deal there. Like I said, had the injuries to Sutton and McCaffrey, so he got bit by that injury bug in week two.
The only thing that's tough about it is the fact that Christian McCaffrey is coming back. He should be back in probably, you know, what's 4 to 6 weeks. Obviously, the tough part in redraft is we don't have time to wait that kind of time period. So it really depends on what you needed. The only thing I would have questioned is why we didn't why would you have traded McCaffrey and not have acquired another running back? Unless his other running backs are stacked. I know they listen.
No, didn't trade McCaffrey. It was DJ Moore and Hawkinson for Thielen.
Oh, okay,
and Robinson.
Okay. I read that wrong. I was thinking he said McCaffrey and then those other guys. Okay. Oh, then yeah. Oh, hell yeah. He crushed it then. He crushed the trade. Yeah. Adam Thielen and Allen Robinson for those two. Oh, absolutely. Sorry. My bad. I read that wrong. Yeah, sorry. Didn't get much sleep last night. 3 hours. DJ Moore and Hawkinson. Oh, yeah. Adam Thielen and Allen Robinson for DJ Moore. Absolutely slayed that trade.
All right, so wide receiver starts, sits. When I was looking over at the consensus rankings for wide receiver, there weren't a lot that jumped out to me as really avoids. I think if you're looking at Robert Woods, he was like a top 12, top 16 play, I believe, in Fantasy Pros consensus rankings this week. he is playing 64% of his snaps on the outside, and that matchup with Buffalo means he should be seeing a lot of Tre'Davious White. So this might, you're probably not going to completely sit him, but I would pump the brakes on Woods this week. This might be one of those games where it's more of a cup game since they're basically flip-flopped. Cup's going to be running a lot more of his snaps and his routes out of the slot. And then the other one, he was on the edge of the top 24, but I just have to bring up, why is AJ Green ranked as a top 25, top 26 option? This dude has 22 targets on the year. It's tied for fifth most in the NFL among just across the board. So at anyone who's seen a target, tied for the fifth most. He has 8 catches and 80 yards on those 22 targets. He is the only pass catching option with 20 or more targets to have single digit catches. And he's the only wide receiver, again, with at least 20 targets that has less than 100 yards. The only one. And then if you take that down to 15 targets, I believe he's one of 4 pass catchers that has less than 100 yards with 15 or more targets. I just don't understand why he's being ranked so highly with that matchup against Philly. Should be seeing a lot of Darius Slay. So that was just one that I did not understand. I didn't get a chance to look at your rankings, Kev. I'm not sure where you have AJ Green. But those two, like I said, there weren't a lot that jumped out to me that were must sits or, you know, really guys I'm going to be staying away from when it comes to the wide receiver position in week 3. Do you have any guys who you are fading or pumping the brakes on in that top 24?
I like Michael Gallup, but there is some concern. On the DJ and Pod last night, we were talking about this, and he's somebody that I really like. They brought up that Diggs, Seattle's corner, is one of their best, a pretty solid corner, and they don't really switch sides, and neither does Dallas. That, like, he pretty much plays on his side, and it's a really tough matchup, where CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper have great matchups, the corners that they're going to be seeing in this matchup. So Michael Gallup is somebody that maybe, which hasn't really popped yet. I think the time is coming. I think it could happen this game, but I can see where people could be a little bit hesitant to fire him up this week because of how he's played. And so if you had some other options, you know, I think other guys like maybe possibly Will Fuller, as long as he plays, again, this is a really tough matchup against a really good secondary for this team. But I, for me, there's a lot of guys that I really want to play that are, you know, Russell Gage has continually, a guy that we hyped over the offseason, has continually played very well. Julio Jones does look like he's pretty banged up. I mentioned Golden Tate, who is somebody that was likely pretty available for people because hasn't really done a whole lot so far to start the year. He was hurt, and then, you know, he came back. But now with Sterling Shepard out on IR, like, this is great for Golden Tate. And Golden Tate, I think, is a great wide receiver 3/flex option this week. I absolutely love him. I think that you can play with Michael Thomas out. I think Tre'Quan Smith is a nice play there. He played pretty well against the Raiders. I think what he had 80 yards receiving, I believe, is what he ended up with last week. A guy that not a lot of hype I'm not really seeing, but KJ Hamler, Penn State, right? Penn State alum there, Cody. But he had 7 targets last week quietly, and he actually out-snapped Jerry Jeudy last week as well. No Cortland Sutton. They're going to be playing from behind. They're going to have to throw the ball. We know he's very dynamic. Rookie, you know, we didn't get a whole lot of talk about him because he was in, you know, I believe he got injured a little bit over training camp. So there wasn't a lot of hype about him at all. But, like, he's somebody that could really pop in this offense. No Cortland Sutton. They're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. I like Jerry Jeudy as well. But I think KJ Hamler, he's available everywhere, like 100%, right? So for me, if he's available, I would be running out. If you had a roster spot that you could part with, like, I would want to add him because I think that he could be somebody that could at least be a solid flex option in certain matchups. I know it's tough trusting him with what Jeff Driskel and now Blake Bortles, who they signed officially, until Drew Locke comes back. But, you know, like I said, if they can get him in space and utilize him in the correct way, like, I think KJ Hamler is pretty interesting. And if he's going to get 7, 8, 9 targets every single game, I think he's a must-add right now.
Yeah, man. I had the same thought when I was looking at the consensus rankings and the wide receivers. There are so many guys who I really like this week that I was just like struggling trying to narrow down the list that I wanted to talk about. But we already touched on Darius Slayton a little bit. Again, you've already talked about it, even with Golden Tate and why you think he's a good play. You touched on Mitchell Trubisky earlier whenever we were talking about the quarterbacks. So for those reasons, I also like Anthony Miller. I mean, the Falcons are giving up the fifth most receptions in the second.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Second most yards to wide receivers. So I think you can go there as well with pairing, you know, Trubisky with Miller if you needed to do that. And then you were talking about Traquan and Michael Thomas. Well, it looks like we might not have Davante Adams after he has missed two practices in a row and with hamstring injuries. And apparently that was something he was dealing with going into that week. That's obviously something that you're not going to want to mess around with, any kind of soft tissue injury, but especially hamstrings for wide receivers. So Alan Lazard and MVS, both those guys become strong plays going up against New Orleans and a defense that just got sliced and diced by none other than Derek Carr, who went for like 285 and three touchdowns or something like that. And you know, they almost looked unstoppable. They kept the ball away from the Saints, and they were almost doing whatever they wanted. Now, obviously most of that damage was done with Darren Waller, but with the way that Aaron Rodgers has looked and that offense has looked, I would definitely be firing up Lazard and MVS. I wouldn't start both of them, but both of them are strong plays this week. And then another guy, the post-hype sleeper, I think we can look toward N'Keal Harry this week. He's tied with Edelman for targets with 18. The next closest is Damir Bird with 9. So both those guys are doubling up the next closest pass catcher in that offense. Cam looks good, man. Healthy Cam Newton is a lot of fun to watch. He just almost put up 400 yards on Seattle last week. So I would N'Keal Harry is another name that, like, if you're in a deeper league or if you need to, you know, pull somebody up off of waivers in order to just start and play this week, I think you can look at N'Keal Harry. So we have a timely question from who is this? Roby Joffreys? Kev, if you were rostering both MVS and Lazard and you can only play one, which one are you going to roll with? Like I said, I think they're both in play, especially even if Davante Adams plays. I think he's going to be limited. I don't think he plays. That's two practices in a row that he's missed and been limited to rehab work. But if you had to pick one of these guys to play, would you feel more confident with one over the other?
I think they're both pretty close. I don't think one really stands out over the other, but if I had to make a decision, gun to my head, I would go MVS. I just think he's a little more explosive and somebody that could probably you know, bringing a long touchdown. This should be a game that's back and forth. There should be some high scoring. I think the biggest beneficiary, as we know, without Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Jones. Or without Aaron Rodgers. Without Davante Adams is Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones crushes without Davante Adams because he gets so much more becomes so much more involved in the passing game. So, but if I had to make a decision, it would be MVS.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the at their deep targets to see who's getting more of those or their air yards or anything like that. But it does seem in terms of usage from what I've seen that MVS is that downfield threat. Before we move on to tight end, we have a question from Nuremberger Soccer in the YouTube chat. Where do you think Gibson is ranked in terms of, you know, RB1, RB2, or flex? I'm not sure if this is meant for this week or just our general outlook. For me, for this week, oh no, I think Gesicki just went down. I think for this week, you could probably look at Gibson as an RB2, but I would feel more comfortable with Gibson as a flex play personally. His usage is ticking up, but like that just doesn't seem like an offense where you're going to be able to rely on him in terms of controlling a game. You know what I mean? To be able to get a boatload of carries. After Peyton Barber had what, like 17 carries week one, I think he only played one snap and had one carry last week. So that is trending toward Gibson, but in terms of where I would feel comfortable locking him in for rest of season flex play for this week, I think you can look at him as an RB2.
I have him at RB22 this week. So yeah, I have him as a RB2. And then I also think, moving forward, I think you can. I think at the very least, he's a flex option. Yeah, like you said, I think he has RB2 upside. So, I'm happy they. And I hope they continue to not give Peyton Barber the ball because Peyton Barber is just a guy. Oh, and to answer your question, by the way, on the Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Alan Lazard conversation, Alan Lazard has played 86% of the snaps. He only has 9 targets. He's 45th in air yards, and he is also 28th in deep targets. He has 2 deep targets, and he's getting a 12.7% target share. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has 13 targets, but he is also 12th in air yards, and he's fourth overall in deep targets with 5. So, and he's getting a 18% target share with a 20% red zone usage as well. So he's also ran more routes. He's got more. Yeah.
That red zone usage surprises me. Everything else kind of, like I said, that makes sense. That's kind of how I've seen the games play out. But the red zone usage is a little surprising to me. We have a question from Rios in the YouTube chat. I can't believe we're at this point.
But it's not crazy, though, because let me ask you something. I think Deontay Johnson is the Steelers' wide receiver 1, and I don't think that's hot. And so this is a really tough question because I absolutely love Deontay Johnson in this matchup. And Joe Mixon has looked like Joe Mixon, just like last year where he started off really slow. So this is tough. This is not an easy question. I have Joe Mixon ranked as like a middle-of-the-road RB2 this week against Philadelphia. Like Philadelphia is getting their defense back. Their front seven is coming back. They added Brandon Graham and I can't think of his other name. Anyway,
Hargrave
back. Their secondary is really strong, and so I think this is a defense that I wouldn't want to necessarily play Joe Mixon against. So I'd go Deontay Johnson.
I can't bail yet. I gotta rock with Mixon and the guaranteed touches. Even though he hasn't looked great, he's still getting what is it like 15 carries at least. Hopefully last week showed Zach Taylor that he doesn't need to roll out Giovanni Bernard as the pass catching back. Whenever Mixon had 4 catches for 40 yards, and I think Gio had like 5 for 24 or just something absolutely pathetic. So hopefully we see that passing usage. And I think their routes ran were relatively close. I think Gio edged him out a little bit, but I think they were close enough that it wasn't that big of a disparity. I gotta go with the guaranteed touches and the guaranteed volume there.
But I guess as Robbie would say though, I guess you start your studs, right? And that's what you're supposed to do? And how that's supposed to work?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying go with the guaranteed volume. That's all I'm saying. All right, man. Let's wrap this up. If you're rocking with us on YouTube or Periscope or Facebook, and if you have any questions, go ahead and drop them in now. We're going to talk about tight ends, and then we'll get to your questions whenever we go to wrap this up. It was kind of the same way for me with tight end when I was looking at guys. Like, there's not really anybody in the top 12 consensus rankings right now that I'm looking at and thinking that like I need to find a different option for. Just to give you guys an idea of what that looks like, it's obviously Kelce, Andrews, Ertz at the top, Higbee, Henry, Waller, Cook, Goddard, Smith, Hawk, Hurst, and Noah Fant at tight end 12. Kittle looks like he's not going to be – I mean, I guess he's going to try to play. I don't really see any reason for them to rush him back. It really doesn't make sense to me. I would expect him to be extremely limited, even if he does play. So I probably wouldn't rank him within my top 12 tight ends. Finally getting some respect on the name for your guy, Jonnu Smith, but he's still a little bit low. Like I said, he's there at tight end 9. Some guys outside of the top 12 who I think you could probably just if you're looking to, I guess, stream the tight end position, some guys that are outside the top 12 consensus rankings, Logan Thomas for Washington. I think you can look at him. Obviously, the targets are going to be super concentrated in that offense between McLaurin, Sims, and Logan Thomas, and he's been looking pretty good early on. I think he had 9 targets again last week.
Do you want to know? So Logan Thomas was going to be the guy I was going to talk about. Since you got to him, let's just go ahead and talk about it. So on the season, this is Logan Thomas, right? Logan Thomas is 7th in routes run, which when we talk about tight ends, is like one of the most important stats you can look at in terms of tight ends. Because so he is 7th in routes run. He is 3rd in targets among all tight ends. He has a 27% target share. That's 2nd in the league. That's up there with wide receivers, right? He has 4th in air yards, 3rd in deep targets. Like, it's all there for Logan Thomas, right? Like I have Logan Thomas, I think, at tight end 6 or tight end 7.
Right now, he is tight end 16, according to Fantasy Pros consensus ranking. So you are definitely leading the field on that one. Are there any other guys for you, Kev, that are sitting outside that tight end 1 territory who you are looking at as streamers, or is it pretty simple with the guys that are in the top 12 of who you're looking to start this week? I was just getting ready to ask you guys if that was me or Kev who was kind of lagging there. I guess I'll finish this out unless Kev decides to jump back in here. But like I said, outside the top 12, there aren't too many guys who I think you quote unquote need to start this week. OJ Howard is going to be an option there. I think he is past Gronk in terms of who the tight end targets are going to be going up against Denver. That tight end, the linebacker room anyway is not that strong. We did lose him, Jobby. Maybe the baby pulled the plug. Was like, all right, you know what? You have been podcasting since 10. Time for you to come to bed. Maybe the wife pulled the plug. Maybe that's what happened. Anyway, Dalton Schultz. I mean, he got a boatload of targets. And, oh, there he is. He's back. Now he's trying to kick me out.
No, I gotta fix this. I don't know what just happened. I think what happened was is the Logan Thomas was too much flames. There's too much fire for everybody. All right.
They said sixth. That's it. Philip wants to know Fant or Janu this week. I mean, I know your answer, Kev.
So initially, when I first thought about it, I guess it's Janu for me, but speaking more generally just about Fant, like, he's another guy that, like, you start really thinking about because, you know, with Driscoll, that's obviously you don't feel great about it. But in terms of just, I think he's someone that you could probably really, really depend on as probably even get more targets. Like, the dude's super explosive. I mean, he played well last week in a tough matchup. And I think, you know, with these targets probably going to be concentrated, they're going to be playing from behind. Like, Noah Fant is a super athletic tight end, and I think he should be probably going – I think people should be a little bit higher on him than they probably are. I think a lot of people are a little bit down on him, and I think that he is another guy that kind of should be looked at like a tight end one this week.
Yeah, with Tampa Bay anyway, they do have the athletic linebackers who you'd expect to line up against him. That's definitely going to be something interesting to watch between Levante David and White, and seeing how they match up with Noah Fant. But I agree, going forward, especially with Sutton sitting out, Fant should be treated as a tight end one. I think he was on that fringe anyway for me. I think he was a little bit lower in terms of consensus, but I think you can look at Fant as a tight end one for the rest of the season. Johnny Smith, I think, is the play. Like I said, Anthony Barr out. The quarterbacks are decimated. They have good safety play, but that's about it on that defense. Especially, I think, is Daniil Hunter coming back this week, I believe. So at least on the defensive end front, pairing him up with Yannick is going to be a big boost for that defense, but still not too much going on in the middle of that defense.
I don't think Daniil Hunter can come back yet. They placed him on IR, didn't they?
Oh yeah, I'm thinking a week ahead. Yeah, you're right. I thought this was the week he could come back. No, that'll be next week. So good catch on there. So that means less pressure, obviously, with Hunter still being out. So other than that, man, any other tight end notes that you want to make, or are we about to wrap this up in under an hour? Is this going to be the very first start shit show that we do under an hour?
Can we talk about Dan Arnold? Can we?
No, we do
the
not.
Only
have,
thing, this is the only thing I'll say about Dan
we
Arnold.
We do not have time for that.
Okay, listen, Linda, listen. So Dan Arnold, right, is ninth in the league in routes run among tight ends. And the one interesting thing is he's 20th in air yards. But so he got four targets last week, right? But they didn't really have to throw the ball because they got up early. The interesting thing I will say about this is that Christian Kirk sounds like he is not going to play this week. And I think that and Max Williams is out. Like, I think we were a little premature on the Dan Arnold week, and I think this could actually be – I have Dan Arnold ranked, I think, 18th or 19th. And I don't think it's actually crazy. He's a pass-catching tight end. I think if this game does turn to be a shootout – look, because that was a problem with last week. It just never got going because they didn't have to throw the ball because they were able to control that game. Dan Arnold, if you're in, like, a 14 or 16 team league, right, and you're needing the streaming option at tight end, Dan Arnold, just remember the name. But the last thing I'll say is, because we didn't talk about this among wide receivers really quick, is what are you doing with the Kansas City situation? Because Sammy Watkins actually today was placed in the concussion protocol. So I'm pretty much saying he's not playing on Monday if he just got placed in. It's kind of like a similar situation to Chris Godwin. So they're getting Baltimore. The game should be high score. I know Baltimore has a good secondary, but this is still the Chiefs' offense. They're going to be able to figure out a way to move the ball. Are you playing DeMarcus Robinson, or are you playing or Mecole Hardman?
I mean, I feel like this is a question to just throw right back at you, being the KC homer. But it seems like we want Mecole Hardman to be a thing, but the usage is leaning toward DeMarcus Robinson, even though he had two pretty big mistakes week one, where I think he had what, two drop touchdowns, or I think was the case, or at least he had two big plays that I think were drops, if I'm remembering correctly. Is there a need to start DeMarcus Robinson? I don't necessarily think so. I think it's just going to be a case of the big three with Clyde and Kelsey and Tyreek. So for me, I don't think you necessarily have to go to DeMarcus Robinson unless you're in a deeper league. And unless Kev is just going straight statue face right now, I believe we lost him again. So this is great, great radio. JK47 is in the YouTube chat, wants to know, would you start Mike Davis, Tyler Boyd, Henderson, DeSean Jackson, or Fuller? Two flex spots. I mean, for the brand, I'm throwing Tyler Boyd in there. I think he's going to have the much easier matchup in the slot with, I talked about it earlier with AJ Green going up against Darius Slay. I think he's going to get a handful of him. Kev talked about earlier that Mike Davis might be a bit of a trap play this week going up against the Chargers. So I would probably go with, oh boy. Oh, is he back?
I don't know what the hell's going on.
It's the Dan Arnold. It's the internet saying, listen, we gave you Keelan Cole. You're getting too damn greedy trying to get Dan Arnold to be a thing. Just accept Keelan Cole, be happy with it, and move on.
Or they just don't want the goodness to get out there. It's like, hey, we got to cut you off. You're putting too much hot fire out here. Okay, just settle down.
It's the mainstream media, man, trying to silence me. So we had this question from JK. Not sure if you saw it, Kev. I said I'm putting Tyler Boyd in there in one of those flex spots. DeSean Jackson's obviously interesting with Jalen Reagor going to – did he hit IR? Or is he just – he hit IR, didn't he? Yeah. With Reagor hitting IR, I said that you had already talked about Mike Davis being a trap. So are you going – first of all, are you with me on Boyd? With a better matchup with AJ being on the outside against Slay and just not looking like the same player, at least through the first 2 weeks. I'm going Boyd for one of mine. Are you going with Henderson or Fuller there in the other spot? Or are you going D-Jax?
So I think that definitely Tyler Boyd. He gets a pretty solid matchup. We'll probably see Roby Coleman in the slot. Which gives up 1.96 yards per route covered so far through the first 2 weeks. So I would definitely look at there. And I would probably end up going D'Angelo Henderson, to be honest, or D'Angelo Henderson. Can we just shut this thing down? Like, Jesus, what a rough one.
It's probably good timing, too.
Daryl Henderson?
Keelan Cole just got smacked, and he's on the ground. So I think that is our cue. That is our cue, ladies and gentlemen. We got to sign off here before you guys have never seen Kevin cry, and it's ugly. You want to talk about ugly cry? Kev is a very, very ugly crier. So appreciate you guys jumping on. Like I said, the DFS pod is already done. You can catch that on YouTube. That'll be hitting your TFA podcast platforms by tomorrow morning. The TFA Dino Show will also be coming out, so we'll have a fresh episode of the TFA Dynasty podcast coming toward you guys. We're going to be going live again on Sunday morning and joining you guys. We've been having a lot of fun, a lot of engagement with you guys doing that. So for me personally, that's the show that I look forward to all week. I've really been enjoying that and kicking it with you guys on Sunday mornings and getting you guys ready for kickoff. Other than that, thefantasyauthority.com. A lot of written content coming out. Obviously, here on the YouTube channel, if you're kicking it with us for the first time, please smash that subscribe button. It means a lot to us. It's been growing. It's been growing steady. We've really been appreciating all you guys jumping in on that. And then obviously on Twitter at @FF_authority, Instagram, you can find us over there as well. Even though we're switched, You can find us on Twitter at FantasyRaf13. That is Kevin Steele over here. I am Cody Kutzer. You can find me on Twitter at CKutzerFF. And until Sunday, we will see you guys then, and we appreciate you guys jumping in. Have a good week 3.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.